deep, and he's got his receiver, Adams! Slicing in for the touchdown.
Pulse of the Pack Podcast.
Play in big running room. And headed to the end zone is Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones.
Give that man the ball.
Pulse of the Pack Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is Pulse of the Pack season preview show, Monday, September 2nd, Labor Day, 2019. And we made it. Football's here. We are 3 days away from the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers kicking off the 100th season of the NFL. I am your host today. I am Jacob Westendorf. And joined with me, as always, celebrating the 30th anniversary of the release of the album Dr. Feelgood by the great Motley Crue, Jason Perrone. Jason, how are we feeling?
We are feeling great. It's good to be back. And yes, as I stated on a different show, Jackass, that was actually one of my favorite albums of all time. I don't listen to a lot of metal, but that was one that was, in fact, a near and dear album to my heart. So yeah, man, it's great to be back. This is our fifth season together. It's our fifth season preview show. We've done this so many times, and yet it took us even longer than ever in the pre-show production meeting to remember what the damn format is. So I think we finally got it, Jake, but I think some age is starting to catch up with both of us.
That very well could be. What I'm going to do is I'm going to blame it on our FNG. And that is from Cheesehead TV Live. Jeremy Vanderlinden has joined us for this show. So, Jeremy, this is the first time we've been together. Unfortunately for you, just like I, we are very well and familiar with Jason Perrone, but we are not familiar with each other. So welcome to the show, and I'm happy to have you with us.
Thank you so much. For those of you who fear long-winded things, I have arrived. You can blame these two for allowing me on the show.
Yeah, I don't even remember how we decided that we wanted you on, so I don't know who to blame specifically, but that's okay.
I'll blame you.
So that's what we're going to go with for now, guys.
I'll blame Jason. It's definitely Jason's fault because between the two of you, he's the one that knows better.
Yeah, well, actually, it's funny. It was Jeremy's idea, but yes, of course, I'll take all the shrapnel for everybody because that's what I do as the designated father of this group, because I've got at least 10 years on one of you and more on the other. We won't pass any names around. Yes, blame the old guy.
Blame the old guy. That's what we do. Okay, so we're going to jump in a little bit. By this point, you guys have heard any and everything on the final roster, so I don't think we need to go through a whole lot there. One move that took place today was the Packers traded for B.J. Goodson, a linebacker from the New York Giants, adding some depth to a position that desperately needed it. Their corresponding move was to release James Crawford off of the 53-man roster. So he was a special teams-only player. I mean, there's not a ton of analysis here, guys. They simply needed a body and a player that could play linebacker in the NFL at an average level at minimum, because the depth behind those guys, behind Blake Martinez, is essentially non-existent. With all due respect to Ty Summers and Curtis Bolton, who's injured, but there just wasn't a whole lot there. At this point in time, so the Packers needed some help, and they went and got it, and they found it from the New York Giants. They made a trade. Terms of that trade have yet to be disclosed. I can't imagine that they gave up a ton to get Goodson here in camp, but that's where we're at. Jason, any analysis real quick on the linebackers before we jump in?
No, this is just a depth move. He's not anything – he is a thumper, but he's not anything – that's going to be representing the Packers in the Pro Bowl this year. It's, I've heard it compared to the Antonio Morrison signing last year. I think that's exactly what it is. It's just, it's depth and it's insurance at linebacker and probably nothing more.
I will say this. He is a better player, in my opinion, than Antonio Morrison, but I looked it up. Last year, Morrison played 299 snaps. I imagine there will be a slight spike for Goodson just because he's a little bit better of a player, but we're not asking this guy to come in and play 800-900 snaps, but that's not why we're here. Why we are here, guys, this is the season preview show, and what we're going to do is we're going to go through all 16 regular season Packers games. We're going to tell you who's going to win that game and why. At the end of the year, we'll tell you if we feel Green Bay was good enough to qualify for the playoffs based on our predictions, go through team awards, and then we'll jump in to the NFL as a whole, give you our Super Bowl champion, give you our league awards, all those things together. So let's jump right in, guys. Thursday night, September 5th, season opener, Green Bay against Chicago at Soldier Field. The last time the Packers played at Soldier Field, they lost 24-17. Otherwise, they've had a pretty good run in that building over the last couple years, really for quite some time, quite honestly. The Packers have, well, let's be honest, guys, they've done really well against the Bears regardless since Brett Favre got traded over to Green Bay. But since it's the season opener, we'll break it down more in depth a little bit later. But I actually like Green Bay to win this game. I think I'm going to be in the minority here on that. But I think some of the unknowns as far as the offense is going to help. The element of surprise, if you will, similar to how the Bears started off well last year against Green Bay. And you'll learn as we go through the show, I really like the possibilities for Mike Pettine's defense this year. I think the defense is going to be able to keep the Bears offense in check. And I look forward to a close game. But I think Green Bay is going to prevail and get some of that. You'll notice that I believe that they're going to get off to a fast start, but I think that starts with a win on Thursday in Chicago. So, Jason, what do you got for the Bears game in the opener?
So I've been saying for a while, I think I've teased it enough, and now here we are at the season preview show, so now all the cards go on the table. I think week one, crazy things happen. So the Packers are going to play the Bears close. I think the Bears are going to step back this year. They're not going to be as good as they were last year. They're not going to surprise anybody with what they've got. They weren't able to make a ton of moves because they gave away all of their picks and all of their everything to get Khalil Mack and all the other guys that they brought in last season. But it's a home game for them. It's week one. Like I said, squirrely things happen. So even though the Packers have far and away the better quarterback and the better X factor to help them win this game, I think new coach, new regime, I think they just fall a little bit short. There's going to be a couple games this season that's going to come down to the coaching factor, even though they're not the ones on the field. And I think this could just be a close one that unfortunately doesn't go the Packers' way. So I have them starting 0-1.
All right. Well, we won't hold that against Jason because he's old and he has dementia. So I think he's clearly forgotten a few things. So, Jeremy, as a guest of this show, you have a chance to start off on a positive note here. How do you see Thursday's game playing out?
Well, I'm not going to take that chance because that's just not the way I want to roll here. I think the Packers end up losing in this first week against the Bears. I think there's going to be some issues with Packer fans where they feel really frustrated about a couple things. I think Adrian Amos is going to play solid football, not great, because that's who he is. That's what we know about him. And I think HaHa Clinton Dix is going to play his best football game in the last 3 years because I'm sure he wants to prove everybody wrong. Although I will say that's not going to last all season. It's just one game. But I'm just going to say the good news for the Packers is that Bears defense can't be any better than it was last year. You can't be better than number one in the league. So they can't do any better than that. There's more of a chance of them falling down in the rankings and not being quite as good, especially with Vic Fangio out of the building. I think, though, the Packers offense is going to be off to a little bit of a slow start as the season starts to go. And I think that's going to be the downfall in this game. It's going to be a close game, but the offense isn't going to be quite ready to put it all together.
And everyone will blame the fact that they didn't play in the preseason. So I really hope that your guys' prediction doesn't play out for several reasons, but that being one of them as well. Let's go to week two. Minnesota at home, the weekend of honoring Bart Starr. May he rest in peace. And the home opener. The Packers have fared well in their home openers in recent memory. Last year, they played Minnesota in week two, and we all remember what happened. The Packers won that game 29-20. Oh, wait, never mind. They didn't, because they called roughing the passer on Clay Matthews, and it ended up being a tie, 29 apiece, in overtime. So, Green Bay comes back. The Vikings are back after a disappointing season last year. Kirk Cousins is back. They've brought in some new weapons and some help on the offensive line. They just signed Josh Doctson today. That being said, I think Green Bay's defense, the way you beat Kirk Cousins is to pressure him. And the Packers weren't really able to do that for much of last year, the two times that they were able to face them. They tied Minnesota and Green Bay because they were able to score points against their defense, and they did just enough on defense to stop the Vikings enough to where they were able to be in a position to win that game. I think the pressure is going to ramp up here against Cousins. I think the Smiths could be in for a big day. This could be a big day for Rashawn Gary as well. There's a lot of factors favoring Green Bay here. I like them to win against Minnesota in their home opener this year, and it won't come down to a roughing the passer. This could be a relatively comfortable 7-10 point kind of victory. Jeremy, we'll shake up the order a little bit here. Jeremy, who do you like week two?
I'm actually going to take them to lose 2 weeks in a row, and I know that sucks, especially against two division foes, but I just think it's going to take a little bit of time for this team to get the wheels rolling, and that's just going to be the way that it is, and I think there's going to be some panic here in Packer Nation. That's going to happen, but you know, I think we're going to see some things in those first few games, those first two games, that have us excited and thinking like, you know, if they could just do this one thing, you know, they'd be able to put it together and win. You know, it's going to be one of those things where it's really close and you can see that it's really close, that they can put it together and be a winning team. But in the first two games, they're not quite ready to do that.
Okay, so we have no reason to ever bring you back on the show if your first two thoughts are to predict them to lose to the Vikings and the Bears in back-to-back weeks. Okay, Jason, help me out here. Help your friend out.
Okay, well, I don't know how much help I'm going to be then, because I actually, no, they're not losing to the Vikings. The Vikings are going to suck this year. The Bears still suck, and the Vikings are going to join them. And I get that the revenge factor is more about the fans than the players, and you've got a lot of new players in Green Bay that haven't been a part of losing to these morons for the past couple seasons. But they need to win big, and the Packers, I think, will. I think it's going to be a comfortable victory for them in week two. I hope the defense – I think this could be a statement game for the Packers defense. You know, Jake, you mentioned the Smiths, and I think – and Gary and the pass rush. You've got to get to Cousins and rattle him. And there is not a single quarterback in this league that I want to see the Packers punish more than Kirk Cousins. So I think week two is going to be a lot more of a treat this year. I mean, the Packers are going to win, but it's going to be a lot more of a treat to watch than it was last year. That's for sure.
Here's hoping that proves correct. Another home game after week two. So just to recap here, I have the Packers starting 2-0. Jeremy has the Packers at 0-2, and Jason has Green Bay at 1-1. This is a game, the next game against the Denver Broncos. And I think this is a game that is being chalked up as an easy win, because on paper you look at it as Aaron Rodgers against Joe Flacco, and you're like, okay, that should be pretty simple. But this is also a Denver defense that was already pretty good from a personnel standpoint, and they added Vic Fangio, who Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, and Matt LaFleur have all said the hardest defensive coordinator for them to prepare against is Fangio. And then you give Fangio weapons like Von Miller, who I think is the best pass rusher in the NFL, with all due respect to Khalil Mack. Bradley Chubb, who was a very good rookie last season. Chris Harris, who's good in the secondary. The Broncos defense is nasty. And this is a game that I think Green Bay, again, will have to win on defense, because it will be one of those games at the end. I think Green Bay wins, but you're looking at like 17-13, or one of those just, at the end of the day, you're going to be like, man, that game was boring and awful and sloppy and gross or whatever. But at the end of the day, we won. So not a big deal. I like Green Bay to win, but I don't think it's going to be one of those games that like it's just going to be a September smoke show against a bad team, because I think Denver's defense is good enough. You'll find out later, I don't have the Broncos finishing all that well this year, but I think their defense is going to be good enough for them to stay in games. It's just a matter of the fact that Flacco or Drew Locke or whoever's playing quarterback for them by the end of the season, God knows with John Elway, who is that's going to make plays for them. But I think Flacco will end up being a detriment to the Broncos in this game. Jeremy, I ask with trepidation in my voice, do they finally get a win?
Yes, they do. They finally get a win. And I think, you talked about the Flacco versus Rodgers thing. I think that it's going to be fair to look at it that way, because these defenses, I think this Packers defense is going to be a top 10 defense this season. So two really good defenses, and what it's going to come down to is which quarterback can go downfield and score, and that's going to be Rodgers. And I think Flacco throws multiple picks, and I'm actually saying the Packers are going to win this game by two scores. It's going to be a big win, and they're going to feel really comfortable in that win. It's going to feel really good to watch them after two losses have a big win against a solid defense and to figure out how to put it all together against Denver.
So an RELAX kind of game against the Denver Broncos for Jeremy. Jason, Flacco versus Rodgers. What do you got here?
By this time, Flacco may be out already. I don't even know who they've got backing him up. So the Packers AFC NFC games, all trends and all bets are off. You have no idea how the game's going to go. I think it's going to be a weird one. The last time the Broncos visited Lambeau Field, it was a offensive smoke show. It was in September, early in the year. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers rolled all over Denver that season. The interesting thing was they beat the heck out of Kyle Orton, who was the Broncos starter at the time, and then Orton ended up with Kansas City later in the year, and we all know what happened then. That was 2011. So, but the Packers win. It's a home game. It's Denver. I don't think Denver's going to be too good this year. The Flacco factor, if he is the quarterback, even less reason to worry. So the Packers come out of the gate with a nice, healthy 2-1 record, and really could have been 3-0 because, again, I think that week one game is going to be close. So they're looking pretty good.
Week four will be a Thursday night tilt, September 26th at Lambeau Field against the Philadelphia Eagles. This is the Eagles roster is absolutely loaded, and you guys will get my opinions on the Eagles here later in the show. But looking at the situation of this game, Green Bay will have been home for almost 3 full weeks by the time they play that Eagles game. So Thursday, September 5th, they'll fly home on Friday. They'll be home for 20 straight days before they play this game. And then you add in the fact that Thursday night games tend to favor the home team in a big way. I think the Eagles are a very good team. They're probably better than the Packers are. And if this game were played on a Sunday, I would probably look at it differently. But it's not being played on a Sunday. It's being played on a Thursday. I think the Packers do well on a short week, and they start 4-0. And I think that the Packers win, not handily, but I think they win taking advantage of that short week on a Thursday night. Jason, it's the Eagles. It's a team that a lot of people seem to think could be headed for glory this season. Can Green Bay beat them on a Thursday night?
Yeah, they can. They're playing at home, and they're coming off of 2 good weeks in a row, 2 wins, and they haven't had to get on a plane, like you said, so it's been a while. But it's a short week, and the Eagles are a battle-tested team. They've got Carson Wentz. You assume all the starters are still going to be healthy. I mean, a lot of things could change with health and other things like that. But the Packers are going to – there's a couple of tilters this season, a couple games that are going to tilt their schedule one way or the other. One of them was that opening week against the Bears, and this is another one against Philadelphia. So if they win one or both, then they could easily be on their way, well on their way to double-digit wins this season. But I have them slipping up here and losing a close one at home to drop to 2-2, which, again, isn't great on paper. But, again, it's you know, I don't think they're going to run the table either at home or on the road. So it's a rare home loss for them, but it's to a good Eagles team that I think is ultimately, you know, going to be a team that we see later in the season once all of the postseason teams are decided.
Okay, so Jason's got that as a loss. Jeremy, I'm guessing that you had this team slated to go 1-15 based on your start here. So are you proving me wrong?
Hey, I'm not proving you wrong yet, but you should hold on to hope here, because knowing all the turnover that happened in this offseason, Packers fans should be willing to stay patient with this Packer team and understand that there's going to be some bumps in the road at the beginning of this season. And this game against Philly is no different. I don't think the Packers are going to be quite ready for the balanced attack of this team that is good on both sides of the ball. I think that's going to be tough for the Packers, but I think it's going to be a close game. And I think in this game is where we start to see glimpses of what can be with this offense. We start to see those little glimmers of hope and get excited about. But I think with the 1-3 start, there is massive panic in Packer Nation, and now is when everybody starts to lose their freaking minds, because you know how it feels when you're watching football. You know how it feels where you're only 4 weeks into the season, but it feels like everything sucks and you can't fix it. I think that Packer fans are going to feel a little bit of that early in this season. But don't worry, Packer fans. There's hope still. It's only 4 weeks into the season.
That does happen. That can happen. I sincerely hope that it doesn't. But I can also tell you, Jeremy, you mentioned panic after this game is over. This is a fan base that, at least according to my Twitter timeline, panics if they go 3-out and have to punt the first series of a game. So I can imagine that they will handle a 1-3 start very patiently before moving on. But nonetheless, let's move to week 5. And this is where I have the Packers taking their first loss, a 3:25 kickoff on Sunday, October 6th, against the Dallas Cowboys. Everybody's talking about Zeke Elliott and the contract disputes and all those things, and that's fine. Zeke's a great player. He makes the Cowboys better, certainly. What nobody's talking about is how badass this Cowboys defense is going to be this year. DeMarcus Lawrence is awesome. Their linebackers are fast. Their secondary is young and improving. I think this Cowboys team, Dak Prescott's not great, but he's certainly good enough. I tend to like him a little bit more than most of your casual observers do. And I think the Cowboys are slated to have a really good season. I think people are making it like way too big of a thing, if you will, that the Packers have won there so many times since that stadium opened. Obviously, they had the big play touchdown to Devontae Adams a couple years ago, and then they had the biggest comeback in franchise history. They won the Super Bowl in 2010 at that stadium. They had another win in the playoffs against Prescott and Elliott, their rookie seasons. And I understand all that. That stuff's cool storylines, but it's not really going to matter on the field. Ultimately, I think that the defense is going to finally stymie the offense a little bit. And if there's a way to beat this Packers defense this year, I think it will be by lining up and ramming it down their throat. And I don't know if there's any team that can do that better than the Cowboys can, whether Zeke is there or not. So this is where I have the Packers taking their first loss against the Cowboys. Jason, are they getting a win in Jerry World?
So the Packers only win in Jerry World. But now Randall Cobb is a Dallas Cowboy, unless he didn't make the roster, and I had just have not heard the news. And Cobb's not going to be a factor in this game. But the Cowboys can't possibly lose every single game to the Packers in Dallas, much like the Packers lost every single game to the Cowboys in Dallas in the 90s, can they? I mean, the Green Bay's had their way for a long time. And this season, I think things just change a little bit. This is just kind of that the recipe, the picking is ripe for some different things to happen. So you don't want to see two losses in a row. But unfortunately, I think that's what happens. I think the Cowboys get the better of the Packers. Doesn't mean it's going to play out that way later in the season in some way, shape, or form. But I've got Dallas winning this one. I have no idea how it goes. But I think we see a little bit of an end to some of the magic that we've enjoyed in that building. Not that they won't get it back, but probably not going to happen this year.
Jeremy.
All right. Well, I think that things in week five are going to start to pick up for the Green Bay Packers, specifically the offense. And like I said, in week four, we would start to see glimpses of what could be. And in week five, those glimpses start to become more and more normal. They start to become the norm, the things that we're seeing more often than not. I think they win in Dallas. I think MVS is going to have a big game because why the hell not? I love MVS this season. There is going to come a point where everybody's like, holy shit, that dude is really good. This is going to be that game where MVS goes off and everybody says, holy crap, that dude's fantastic.
I like it. All right, a little optimism. It's about damn time. Let's move 8 days later. They will play a Monday night football game, their only Monday night game this season, against the Detroit Lions. It's Detroit. It's in Green Bay. That used to be booked down for an automatic win. The Packers have lost four straight games to the Detroit Lions. Say what you will about Rodgers only played in, I believe, one of them from start to finish. Nonetheless, last time they played at Lambeau Field, the Lions came in and won 31-0. That was the last game last season. It is the most depressing football game I have ever been in a building for. It seemed like nobody cared about anything, but the Lions beat the Matt Prater, Jason's best friend, threw a touchdown pass in that game. It was embarrassing by every stretch of the imagination. I think the Packers remember that. I think that they come in with a sense of purpose and a sense of vengeance on their mind, and I think they beat the Lions big on Monday Night Football and blow the Lions off the field. And I also predict that friend of the show, Matt Prater, will miss two field goals in this game. So Jason will be happy. And Jason, I can't imagine that you're predicting a Lions win based on what I know how you feel about their roster, but I could be wrong.
The Detroit Lions can blank a blank, okay? And you put it, you insert whatever verbs and nouns you want in there, okay, listeners? So the Lions are actually, I live in the Phoenix locale, as does Jeremy, and the Lions are actually going to be here this week visiting the Arizona Cardinals. And I'll tell you what, I have an idea, Lions. Why don't you take all your BS-ery that you typically save for the Packers, and why don't you use it on the Cardinals, who suck even worse and deserve even less than the Detroit Lions have? I would love to see Prater miss two. The only good thing that the Lions are bringing to this game is the fact that they're bringing that ass clown Matt Prater to the game, and he will probably get drunk before the game or the night before. And I've actually met Matt Prater. That's why this whole thing between me and Prater is a thing. Packers win big. Not a lot of guys that were on the roster last year are going to remember that, but Aaron Rodgers was, and he got a concussion, and I think he's pissed off about it. So I hope he comes out and throws for 404 touchdowns. Sounds about right to me, but Packers roll in this one at home.
Packers roll. There you have it. Sounding a lot like Corey Behnke there. Well, Jeremy, you said that things were going to start coming together in Dallas. Well, I don't think things can start coming together in Dallas only to lay an egg at home against Detroit. But I could be wrong. How do you see this game playing out?
Absolutely not. It is going to be a huge win. I'm with you guys on that. But here's the thing. It's going to be a huge win, but a lot of it is going to be thanks to the defense. I think I have it written here. Matthew Stafford sidearms his way to 3 interceptions. The defense comes up big. The offense puts a ton of points on the board. They win big on Monday night against the Detroit Lions.
There you have it. As somebody who has, like, I have an irrational hatred for Matthew Stafford. Like, every time he's at Lambeau, I scream stuff at him more than any other quarterback. I'm not sure why that is, but it is. So I am looking forward to that. 6 days later, the Packers will be at home again. It seems like they're at home for pretty much the entire month of September and October. This time they'll be facing off against the Oakland Raiders, John Gruden's Oakland Raiders. I think the Raiders are going to be a disaster. I think it's hilarious because they never should have given John Gruden the contract that they did. And the Raiders could win 3 games for like 4 straight seasons, and they can't fire him because they can't afford to just eat $60 million for somebody not to coach. So it's hilarious, quite frankly, to me. Derek Carr is allegedly going to be the quarterback by then. Gruden might have talked himself into Mike Glennon or DeShone Kizer, who was claimed there just recently. I think Green Bay wins this game by a comfortable margin. Offense, defense, and special teams, I just think they're better than Oakland in all 3 of those spots. So, Jeremy, how do you feel here?
Yeah, I'm not even going to say much here because you nailed it. The John Gruden hire, everything has been downhill since then. That was a bad choice. Too much money. Ridiculous. Packers beat the Raiders. Not even close.
Not even close. I love it. Jason.
John Gruden is the new meathead NFL coach amongst all of the coaches in the NFL. And if you don't think that Matt LaFleur isn't going to remember Gruden trying to embarrass him, even though it was a preseason game, by saying that the Raiders had no problem with the field in Winnipeg, but the Packers did, you got something else coming to you. So Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers are going to drop a little something extra for the Raiders. And it's going to be ugly. It's going to be a beatdown. I only hope Antonio Brown plays in this game so that when he is picked off, when Jair Alexander picks off a 50-50 ball, that he gets and tries harder for than Antonio Brown, because Antonio Brown's feet are disintegrated and worthless, that everybody enjoys a good laugh because of it. Packers in a blowout.
Blowout it is. And also, let me... I'll do this one more time, and I promise to be the last time. Well, I can't promise that. But for every fan that every year when Mike McCarthy was the head coach and John Gruden was in the booth clamoring that we bring John Gruden out of retirement to be the head coach, this could be you. So be thankful that it's not. All right, they have now gotten through just about the midway point of the season. After they play Oakland, they will travel to Arrowhead Stadium against the Kansas City Chiefs. The reigning league MVP, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Tyreek Hill, LeSean McCoy, weapons on weapons on weapons in Kansas City. As soon as I saw this game was a Sunday night game at Arrowhead, I had one phrase that came to mind, and I'm not even sure that I've ever used this word before, but I think the Packers are going to get mollywopped in Kansas City. They'll sell this as Green Bay and Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes against Aaron Rodgers, and there's just going to be way too much. The Kansas City just has way too many weapons, and I don't think Green Bay can keep up and win in shootout-type fashion against a team like that. So I think the Packers, this could be a game where they lose like 38-10 or something like that. The one thing that gives you some hope, if you're a Packers fan, is that Kansas City's defense probably shouldn't be very good. But like I've mentioned, you know, I think Jeremy's kind of alluded to it, and I will as well now, that I think Green Bay will kind of have a up and down sort of season on the offense, just because there's a lot of stuff to work out and a lot of questions as to whether the players on their offense outside of Jones, Adams and Rodgers and Bakhtiari and, you know, playmakers, I should say. So outside of Jones and Adams, if they're any good. So I think that'll be a question that comes into play here. But I think this game could be very ugly. You'll wait all day for Sunday night just to watch that. So, Jason, you're usually a beacon of positivity. How does this game play out?
Horribly. Absolutely horribly. The Packers are not going to win this game. It is going to be it's a new regime, it's a new era, so we should have new hope and a new attitude, and let's be positive, right? Right, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, let's not, because let's be realistic here. It's the Packers on the road against the Chiefs, and sure, Mahomes versus Rodgers. Listen, bad things happen in Kansas City, all right? They finally got their first win there with Favre in 07. 4 years later, it's Aaron Rodgers and the defending Super Bowl champions going in undefeated against Kyle the Animal Orton, and they lose. And there was a weird vortex-like air over the team that day. Aaron Rodgers, every ball he threw, just it was like there was like a lead tip on the ball. Nobody could catch anything. It was ugly. It was awful. I think it's going to be a more entertaining game. I think you could see something similar to like the Chiefs and Rams game last year. But I think the Chiefs end up coming out with the win on this in this one. And this is what made the ESPN projection that I read earlier today even funnier, because they had Green Bay steamrolling over the Chiefs and emerging with an 8-0 record. And I just don't see any way that happens. But this isn't going to be a shattering loss to the season. If they can steal one here, then they're in some serious business, especially if they win the other two that I have them losing. But I don't see it happening on the road against the Chiefs, who are going to be pretty good this year.
Jason, who had them at 8-0? What?
It was that ESPN projection, the simulator that they ran. They ran an article today that simulated the season in every single game, and they had Green Bay starting 8-0, and one of their wins was big over the Chiefs, which kind of gave me a nice – I mean, it was fun to read, but it gave me kind of a nice chuckle. I'm not buying it.
That must be run by a Packer fan or something. I don't – what the hell?
That very well may be. If you guys are Packers fans and you want to have some optimism for the season, that's your article to read for sure. It was a lot of fun until the very, very end in terms of optimism. I think this is a game that you look at as a measuring stick kind of game. The Chiefs are one of the elite teams in the NFL. The Packers used to be that a few years ago. They aren't anymore, and they haven't been in quite some time. So this is a chance if they do have – a pretty good record at this point in time. This is where you're thinking like, oh, are the Green Bay Packers, you know, are the Pack back, so to speak. But it appears Jason and I believe that this is not going to go well. So Jeremy, I think you just said no. So tell me why.
No, it's not going to go well. And it's not that the Packers can't compete against Kansas City. I don't think they're ready to compete against Kansas City. This is still going to be a development process, and it is going to be an up and down season for the offense. I think Kansas City wins by 2 scores. And I just think the offense isn't going to be ready yet to go toe-to-toe with that Kansas City offense with Patrick Mahomes. I think, you know, they absolutely could. They could prove me wrong, and I'd be very happy to see it. I just think patience is key when it comes to this season. We must be patient and be realistic. And in this week, week 8 against Kansas City, I don't think it's realistic to assume the Packers are going to win that game.
Week 9, they'll head out to the West Coast. They'll take on the Los Angeles Chargers. And in another game where the Chargers were one of the best teams in the NFL last season, they always seem to be one of the most talented teams in the NFL. They, for every person that complains about the Packers having the worst injury luck, or they're always injured, like the season hasn't even started yet, and Derwin James, one of their best defensive players, is on injured reserve. He may get designated to return later in the season. But like that's the equivalent of if the Packers, knock on wood, had already lost Jaire Alexander. And that sort of stuff happens to the Chargers all the time. Nonetheless, I also have this game marked down as a loss. I think a trip to the West Coast is tough. The Chargers have typically played Green Bay well. There's something positive for the Packers here is it will essentially be a home game because the Chargers don't have any fans in that tiny college stadium. So that's something where playing on the road isn't as big of a deal. Very similar, if you guys remember last year's Rams game. But I also think that, and we're doing all of these predictions regarding, you know, barring relative health. So, for example, you know, if Patrick Mahomes, knock on wood, hope this never happens, is injured and not playing in the previous week's game, I don't think we're picking Kansas City to beat up on the Packers like we just did. But barring relative health here in L.A., I think that the Chargers win this game as well. I think the Packers can compete here. I think it'll be a little bit closer than the previous week's game, but it's just a tough ask to win back-to-back road games or win in a stretch like that. So I think the Chargers win here. Jeremy, what do you got here?
The road trip to the West Coast is really tough. And not only that, it's a back-to-back road trip. You know, they have to go to Kansas City, back to Green Bay, and then all the way out to the West Coast. So that's going to be tough. So I'm taking the Packers to lose here. And the Chargers are a good team. I mean, Phillip Rivers has been doing this year in and year out. Fantastic quarterback. That's a tough team. But here's the kicker. This is where things are going to suck. I think by then, Melvin Gordon is back with the Chargers. He is the reason that they beat the Packers. And this is where angry Packer fans come in and start to declare their hate for Brian Gutekunst for not making a trade. Because I don't know about you guys, but I have noticed that Packer fans can be pretty unreasonable when they think a player should be traded for or signed or whatever. And when it doesn't happen, Brian Gutekunst should be fired immediately. So I think Melvin Gordon goes off. Chargers win. Packers fans crap their pants. And it is a terrible time on Twitter for a week.
And that is especially true, Jeremy, when that player you're mentioning is a former Wisconsin Badger. Even more true in that scenario.
Oh, yeah.
Jason, who do you got here?
I got Aaron Rodgers playing probably his worst game of the season. And it's a same thing, West Coast road trip. It is to the Los Angeles Chargers. Is everyone proud of me? I didn't say the San Diego Chargers. Are you proud of me, Ma? Look, Ma, I did it. The LA Chargers are going to emerge victorious in this one. It's just it's again, it's an AFC-NFC game. It's an unfortunate stretch. The schedule is kind of tough in spots this year. You got, you know, Eagles, Cowboys back to back. You got Chiefs, Chargers back to back. Three of those four are road games. It just doesn't bode well for Green Bay. It's just going to be one of those games where they're never really in it, and it's just kind of a frustrating thing to watch. Little out of character for Rodgers and the Packers offense. But again, I said the Matt LaFleur new coaching staff factor is going to play a role. And when you've got to get your team up for two big road games, I think that's something that LaFleur is going to learn a lot about how to do, you know, what to do, what not to do this season. But again, this is not a soul-crushing loss. They're going to look probably pretty ugly in losing this game, but it's not a soul-crusher. And so again, it's not one of those things that is going to totally derail the season, but not going to turn out in the Packers' favor, unfortunately.
That's all three of us have a similar thought here. The following week will be the last game before their bye week, and that will be against the Carolina Panthers in Green Bay. And a fun fact for everybody here, the Green Bay Packers are 3-0 when Jason Perrone and Jacob Westendorf are in the stadium at the same time. That will go to 4-0 after they beat the Carolina Panthers in Green Bay, because we will be together for this game in November. Not only that, Cam Newton's hurt. He's already struggling with injury issues. The offensive line out there sucks. Their weapons outside of Christian McCaffrey aren't all that scary, except for 85-year-old Greg Olsen, who will score a touchdown against the Packers this year, and I will hear Jason complain about it for the next 2.5 quarters, even though the score is 38-10 at that point in time. So I think Green Bay wins here. I don't know if Carolina is going to be any good. I have them finishing third in their division, but I just don't know about them. That's a team that really shot its wad, if you will, a couple years ago when they played in the Super Bowl, and then they've really never been the same team since. And Newton being hurt doesn't help. It could be their backup quarterback by that point in time playing. So I think Green Bay wins big, making it a happy trip to Green Bay, Wisconsin for the rest of us. Jason, one, did you like my stat? Two, how do you feel about this game?
Are you reading off of my note sheet here? You literally just read my entire note sheet on the factoids, the score, the Greg Olsen piece. Like, it's literally everything that I had to say about this game you just said. So, except I have Olsen scoring two touchdowns, and you'll be having to listen to me complain about it for at least the next couple of months, not quarters. So I apologize in advance, but I will tell you this right now since we're talking about it. Jake, I just want to remind you, I am one of the world's biggest seat snobs, and so We're going to get good seats, and we're not going to sit at the top of the bowl for this one. We're going to have good spots. So, no, it's going to be a good afternoon for the Packers. They're going to play well. It's going to be fun to watch. Yeah, I don't think this one's going to be particularly close as it stands right now. Injuries can change everything, but that would mean that the quarterback is not playing for the Packers, and then in that case, we may have already adjusted our expectations accordingly. So, Packers win big on this one. They get back on a positive note heading into their week off.
Jeremy, you're the only one on this show that's not joining us for this game. Unless we've convinced you to change your mind, I suppose that's possible. But how are you feeling?
You know, I wish I could join you for this game. I went and saw the Packers play the Panthers in Lambeau Field a few years ago. And I got tickets for $100 a piece, and we ended up four seats up next to the tunnel. We ended up catching some memorabilia. I caught a Casey Hayward glove, and it was awesome. So I think it's just going to be a repeat. A fun time for Packer fans at Lambeau Field, watching the Packers beat the Panthers. It's going to be a good week, and it's time for the Packers to get back on track. After two losses, they're going into their bye. And after week 10, going into the bye, I have them at 5-5. I think that's a solid start to a season that has a lot of question marks.
So just to go through real quick, this will be the bye week. Jason, what do you have the Packers at this point in time?
Same thing. It's 5-5. They've had two at this point with me. They've had two-game win streaks and two-game losing streaks, but they sit at 5-5.
I've got Green Bay at 7-3 going into their bye week. I think it'll be a lot of optimism surrounding the Packers in Green Bay at that point. So stay tuned, though. We've got a whole other half of a season to go here for the Packers. So keep that in mind. When they return from their bye week, they'll be rested, ready, and playing the San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco, a trip to the West Coast. And those of you that have listened to the show in the last 5 years know that I have a theory. And even though there's a new head coach, I'm going to stick to this theory. And that is that the Packers have a WTF loss at least once every year. And that is a loss at the end of the season. You look back and go, how in the hell did they lose that game? And this typically happens when they're good. So like last year when they're bad, for example, that loss doesn't necessarily exist, I guess.
Oh, yes. Yes, it does, Jake. It was called the Arizona Cardinals, because anytime you lose to the Arizona Cardinals, you should just move out of the country.
That's right. Okay, I lied. That loss did happen. They lost to the team that had the worst record in the NFL. I had blocked that game from my memory, so thank you for that, Jason. But that is where I think this loss comes into play. Kyle Shanahan is the teacher. Matt LaFleur is the student. And I don't think the 49ers are going to be very good this year. I'm not as high on Jimmy Garoppolo as some people are. I don't understand why everybody was so sold on this dude after three games that he played in against regular season opponents. It just never made sense to me. He was hurt last year, so obviously didn't get a chance to prove himself. I'm not sure about them. I'm not sure about their roster. I think ultimately at the end of the day, the 49ers are not going to be a very good team, but they'll find a way to win this game. The Packers will play like just slop hell, which is strange because it's coming off the bye week. But some of these losses aren't necessarily explainable. For example, like Jason just mentioned, 1 year ago in the cold against a quarterback that had never played in a game below like 70 degrees or something stupid like that, and the Arizona Cardinals. So I have the 49ers winning this game, which is probably going to seem strange to the most of you, and I imagine I'll be in the minority. But Jeremy, how do you feel about the West Coast trip here?
Now, I think Jimmy Graham's actually going to be pretty decent. I don't know if he's going to be as good as what they paid him because they did give him a ridiculous contract. But I do think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be pretty good. Jimmy G is going to be pretty decent. And they're going to be having a good season going into this game. And the Packers are going to win big. And it's going to be one of those wins where it's like, well, damn, the 49ers have been fantastic this year, or at least decent. And the Packers just made them look like a joke. I think the Packers are going to start to put things together after the bye week. Things usually do go pretty well after the bye, and San Francisco does not have a bye the week prior. And even though the week prior they're playing the Cardinals, they're playing a rival. It's going to be a very physical game. And then they're going to have to come in and play the Green Bay Packers, who are coming off a bye fresh with some new ideas in mind. And I think the Packers are just going to be hot. It's going to be tough to beat them. The Packers are going to stomp them.
All right, Jeremy sees it very differently than I do. Jason, what about you?
So you've got Matt LaFleur, who was brought in, who comes from the Shanahan tree, and there's going to be a little bit of an intrigue and a rivalry here. It's a road game. The Niners should have stole one at Lambeau Field last year. Fortunately, Jake, for you and I being in the house, our record stayed intact. The Packers got a big win. We celebrated it. We commemorated it with a very hilarious and funny video of us screaming and jumping in the stands. It was a joy. It's always fun to beat the 49ers because, as we all know, everybody, Jerry Rice fumbled. But Jerry Rice is not playing in this game. So the Niners at home, I think Shanahan's going to try to prove, listen, I'm the superior, slightly more veteran head coach here. You're still the underling, and it's going to be the master kind of taking it to the student a little bit. I think the Packers, just by virtue of being on the road, are 0 for the West Coast, and they drop one here. This is kind of their fluky loss that I talked about that I have them losing. And this one, unfortunately, for a short time, just puts them slightly under 500.
Moving into December, here we have it as the first game in December against the New York Giants, who I think are slated to be the worst team in the NFL, or one of the worst teams in the NFL. I think they're going to be awful. I know it's on the road. The Packers typically haven't played well on the road. The Giants suck. Eli Manning, if he's still playing, I think this will be a beatdown. If Daniel Jones is playing, I think it gives them a smaller chance. But I think Green Bay wins this game big. Just don't let Saquon Barkley completely destroy the game and you're good. So the Giants take a loss to Green Bay, and I think the Packers move forward with a good start to December. Jeremy, any objections?
None at all. I think I have it written here. Daniel Jones will start his first game for the New York Giants against the Green Bay Packers in Week 13, and the Packers are going to win huge.
Okay, so a big win there, Jason?
Big win. It's about time to get another victory in New York. They beat the Jets at the end of the season last year, but they 0-1 to the Giants. Eli Manning will still be in the stands or on the sideline or coaching in the box or somewhere. I only hope we get a dumb, smirky Eli face before the end of it all, but the Packers are going to roll in this one. Should be a pretty big victory. Not a whole lot else to say about it.
Following week, December the 8th, the Packers will take on the Washington Redskins. Case Keenum might be starting. It might be Dwayne Haskins by that point. I don't think it matters. Washington, I think, has a chance to have a good defense, and I think that'll help them scrape to more wins than maybe they should get. But I don't know about their quarterback situation. I don't know about their offense situation. I know Darius Geis is good coming off of an injury. But in general, I'm not sure how talented their offense is. And it's in Green Bay, where I think the Packers tend to play well. Most teams play well at home. I think the Packers will get back to that this year. So I think they win in Washington, and that'll get them to their 9th win for me on the season. Jason, Washington at home. How do we feel here?
I feel like Washington sucks. And that's only because they beat the Packers last year, and it was a really stupid and frustrating loss. This was another game in which Clay Matthews was erroneously flagged for roughing the passer. And I'm not going to say that's why the Packers lost, but it was a dumb loss, and I'm tired of – Washington's one of those teams that just kind of floats around out there and you forget about them. So we're going to quickly forget about them after the Packers dispatch them and send them into, hopefully, the abyss. But I've got the Packers winning 2 in a row, and it's 2 in a row against the NFC East, who they will face all 4 teams from this season.
Jeremy, last game outside of the division. How do you feel about a game at home against Washington?
This team does not have a quarterback. Case Keenum, he had that one good year with the Vikings, and I think we all understand that that is not the norm for Case Keenum. So, with that being said, Packers win. Nothing more to say. Moving on.
Tell the Vikings, no, that's not the norm. That's why they were just willing to let him go. All right, the Packers now have 3 straight division games to close out the season. 1 at home against Chicago and 2 on the road. 1 against Minnesota and 1 against Detroit. Let's start at the 1 against Chicago. I know this is strange because I'm picking the Packers to beat the Bears the first game of the season, but I think some of the novelty will have worn off of the Matt LaFleur system. And ultimately, I know people are predicting the Bears have a bit of a fall off, if you will, this season. I'm not one of those. I think their defense will be worse than it was a year ago, but like Jeremy mentioned earlier, being worse than number 1 in the entire NFL is interesting. So, I mean, 2nd in the NFL could be worse. Now, they won't be all-time great like they were. Switching from Amos to Ha Ha Clinton Dix will matter, all that good stuff. I think the Bears find a way to win this game at Lambeau. It's a game that will be essentially, as you'll see, for the division crown. And I think that Chicago right now is a better team than Green Bay is. So I think Chicago wins in a game where things tend to even out more as the season progresses. So I like Chicago to win in Green Bay for the first time since Thanksgiving of 2015, if I'm remembering correctly. So, Jason, tell everybody that I'm stupid. I'm cool with it.
Yes, you are. The legacy of the 2015 Thanksgiving game will live on at least for one more season. I don't think this game is going to be particularly close, even though the Bears do have a good defense. By the end of the season, their season is going to be very different than it was last year. Their hopes are going to be gone already. They're going to come into this game with a lot less motivation and moxie than they have the last couple of times. The Packers owe them one. They will have lost two in a row, according to my predictions here, after dropping the week one game. And so I think they take care of business at home big time with a very motivated Aaron Rodgers to make sure that he reclaims that top spot and the crown as best quarterback in the North. Not that he's going to be playing against anywhere near a candidate for that, but I think the Packers are going to win big against the Bears in this one.
I'm with it. Jeremy, you have them losing the first game. Do they reverse the trend here in game number two?
Yes, they do. And here's the thing. This, I think Packer fans are going to like this. Clinton Dix will prove all Packer fans right. He will let Bears fans down, and he will look terrible in this football game. And the Green Bay Packers will come out on top.
So Packers come out on top, and Clinton Dix looks bad. I think I'm okay with that. All right. At Minnesota, the Packers have never won at U.S. Bank Stadium. I see no reason for that to change. Quite frankly, I don't know how good Minnesota is going to be, but the Packers, I haven't seen them win a lot of big road games. I think Minnesota has enough talent, and they play better in that stadium with that defense, with that pass rush, everything like that. I think they cause enough fits in that stadium to give the Packers enough issues. So I think Minnesota wins this road game as well for Green Bay, and that'll drop the Packers to 9-6 going into their final game of the season against Detroit. Jeremy, how are they going to do in Minnesota?
I think they finally get that U.S. Bank Stadium monkey off their back. I think they win in Minnesota. It's not going to be a big win. It's going to be a close game. It's going to be sloppy at times, but I think the Packers are going to figure out how to win in Minneapolis.
Jason?
Insert Galler fart sound effect, which I have to credit another show for. I think it's Titletown Sound Off that has the rights to the Galler fart.
That is right.
This building is just a sieve for good Packers football ever since Aaron Rodgers got hurt in 2017. So I don't know how it goes down, but somehow, some way, the Vikings, who will still finish below the Packers in the division standings, find a way to pull it out. And Minnesota fans rejoice once again because they have won their Super Bowl. They beat the Packers one time at home in a game that means nothing for their season at the end of the year, and we'll all have to suffer through a week of it on social media because of it. But alas, for Vikings fans, our displeasure does not last long heading into Week 17.
And Week 17 will be against the Detroit Lions in Ford Field. I almost called it the Silver Dome, and it hasn't been that for years. So Ford Field, for the Packers to finish the season. I have this set up as the Packers will be fighting for their playoff lives at 9-6. And I just think that we're a year early for Green Bay to make the playoffs. And I think we're a year early for a lot of things. I think the fast start will ultimately finish with a dud, because I think that Green Bay is going to lose this game to Detroit. I think that they have then a 9-7 finish and a disappointing season, and they missed the playoffs because of it. There'll be a lot of questions this offseason in Titletown afterwards, because the fast start will essentially be clouded by the fact that they had a poor stretch after the bye to finish their season. But that's the way I see it playing out. I think Green Bay finishes 9-7, and that's not going to be enough to make the playoffs, because I think the wild card teams, as we'll get to in a minute, will have 11-10 wins respectively. Jeremy, are they winning in Detroit?
Yes, I think the Packers finish the season red hot, and they're going to have a 7-game win streak to finish the season. I have them from the bye on winning out the rest of the season. And so, yes, they are going to beat Detroit. They are going to make the playoffs. See, I went the opposite of you, Jacob. You started hot, missed the playoffs, started real slow, and they punched their way in at the end with a 7-game win streak. Big win for the Packers in Detroit. On to the playoffs.
All right, so you've got them in. Jason, win or loss, and are they in the playoffs with your result?
It's a win. There will not be another S-burger in Detroit. And if they have to bring Sam Ficken back for 1 week to kick in Detroit and give Mason Crosby the week off, then do it. Because I can't sit through another show like we saw last year, which, Jake, unfortunately, you were in the house for. So Packers win this one. The Lions are going to be a complete trash this year. No way the Packers lose this game, even on the road. So they finish with a victory. It puts them at 9-7. And I have them winning the division at 9-7. It's not a very strong record for a division winner, but the Vikings finish 8-8, and who cares what happens with the Bears and Lions? They do even worse. So, yes, Packers win the division 9-7, and they roll into a 17th game for the first time in 3 years, which will be a sight for some very sore eyes.
Perfect. Well, I hope you guys are right in that regard. I mentioned the lack of optimism early on here, but yeah, I guess I'm the one who's the pessimist here. Jeremy, I forgot. Did you have Green Bay winning the division?
I do. I have the Packers winning the division, Chicago trailing them, then the Vikings, and of course the Lions are bringing up the back end of that train.
All right, so we have that for that. And then what we'll do here real quick before we go into full-fledged, full NFL look, we're going to go with some season-ending accolades for the Packers. So the team MVP, I think the three of us can go through this pretty quickly. Aaron Rodgers, any objections?
No objections.
All right, no objections there. We'll just move to the next one. It's pretty rare that the team MVP is not going to be a quarterback. So rookie of the year, this one is interesting. I'm going to go with Darnell Savage. I think that the Packers have clearly seen a lot in him. They were willing to trade up for him. They pretty much plugged him in as a starter. He did not play a lot in the preseason. And Rashawn Gary, for example, who was also picked in the first round, did. So that's something that I think is at least somewhat worth monitoring, because that's how good they feel about Savage here early in the year. I think he'll get, of the players in the back end of the secondary, most likely to get the sexy numbers. I think Savage is the one, because Amos is going to be asked to be assignment sure and stuff like that, which will allow Savage to gamble a little bit more. So I think he'll have the big numbers at the end of the year, and I won't be surprised if he is a contender for Defensive Rookie of the Year once the season ends. So, Jeremy, who do you have as the Packers Rookie of the Year?
I'm going with Darnell Savage as well, and there's no reason to believe it'd be anybody else. He's just he's going to have a great season. He's obviously the most ready player that they drafted this year, and you're right. They didn't play him a lot in the preseason, and he had a couple of practices that he missed with the dental thing, but the Packers know what they have there. They're comfortable with him, and I think he is going to be the best rookie that they have.
Jason, are you rolling with 21 Savage here, or do you got somebody else?
I was going to roll with 21 Savage, but in a season where they're only going to finish 9-7 and they're going to play some marginal football at times, and they're not going to be the burners that we're used to seeing when they do win big and they've won division titles in the past, somebody has to emerge as the defense's best player. I think Savage is going to have his share of struggles and troubles as he learns the pro game. I think he's going to be a great player for this team in years to come. But as far as this year, one rookie has to stand out over all of the others. And I think that it's going to be Kingsley Keke. Even though he is not as high on the depth chart and not slated to play as much up front, I just think that either because of injuries or because of his stout play, he looks like a player, and I think he's going to do some really, really good things. So I think it's more just because he stands out more, not necessarily because he plays more, and that's why I've got Kingsley Keke taking the Rookie of the Year award for this season.
That'll be interesting, then, to say the very least on that. Defensive Player of the Year, guys. I am going to go with Za'Darius Smith. I think this guy is set to have a breakout season and become a star, and not just for the Packers, but for the entire NFL. He's looked like an absolute monster in camp practices and preseason. His one game, the bit of action that he played against the Ravens, he would have had one sack and maybe two if it wasn't Lamar Jackson in the backfield. So I think that this guy is set to just be a monster. And this entire defense is essentially built around him and his skill set. I'm taking Za'Darius. I think it was Lily Zhao that has and I apologize if I just butchered her name, but I think she's the one who, what's the word I'm looking for? She coined the phrase World War Z for Za'Darius Smith. So I think that's going to be perfect for this part of the year. I think Smith's going to have a big night on Thursday also and get the Packers off to a good start. And I think when we look back at the end of the year and say, this defense was transformed in the offseason, Za'Darius Smith's going to be the biggest reason why. Jason, who do you got for Defensive Player of the Year?
The Defensive Player of the Year is the gentleman whose name and number I adorn on Sundays now, thanks to you, Jake. Much appreciated. Jaire Alexander, as difficult as it's going to be for him to make a huge jump from year one to year two because he played so well last year as a rookie, and he wasn't great to the level that we're going to see him probably play this year, health, you know, obviously barring any health issues, fingers crossed, knock on wood. I think it's easily Jaire Alexander, and he's going to be the reason why the secondary does as well as it does, because that corner position actually has a lot of question marks to it, but it's a lot less of a question mark because of number 23. So I think he runs away with it.
Okay, so Jaire Alexander, we have some differing opinions here. Jeremy, are you taking someone we've already mentioned, or are you looking at somebody different?
Yeah, I got Za'Darius Smith. I agree with you. I think he's going to have a great year. All of the reports we heard out of camp are very encouraging, and I think that in week one, right away, from the jump, it's going to feel like an unleashing. They're going to bring this guy out, and I think he's going to impress. Obviously, I have them losing that game, but that doesn't mean Za'Darius Smith can't have a great game. I think he's going to have Bears fans nervous the whole night. He's going to make plays for this defense. Za'Darius Smith is going to have a great year.
So there you have that. Offensive player of the year. This will be different because obviously we could take Aaron Rodgers for this as well. I've always thought it was a little strange that the NFL does that where, you know, I remember, like I mentioned earlier before the show, guys, 2011, Aaron Rodgers wins MVP, but Drew Brees wins offensive player of the year. Well, if the MVP is an offensive player, is he not also the offensive player of the year? But for the sake of discussion, that's what we're going to do here. I have my offensive player of the year as Aaron Jones. And I think very similar to what I just said about Za'Darius Smith, this offense is tailor-made for him. The Packers have stated a desire to run the ball more. Aaron Jones is a dynamic player, and he's one of the few dynamic players that are proven on this roster for what the Packers have at this point in time. So I think this is going to be a big year for him. I could see him getting over 1,500 yards from scrimmage, over 1,000 yards rushing, another 500 receiving, stuff like that. So I think that Green Bay has a good one in Aaron Jones, and I think he's going to be your offensive player of the year. Jeremy, who's your OPOY?
Davante Adams. I think it's, you know, it is between him and Aaron Jones for me, but I think Adams, you know, just continues to build on what we know is there. He's a great receiver, one of the best in the NFL, and he just continues to build on that. He's going to have a great year.
Okay, one for Jones, one for Adams. Jason, break the tie.
Adams, if Aaron Rodgers has an MVP season, it can only be because Davante Adams goes off and is a huge part of that right there. You can't cover this man. He is absolutely unstoppable. He's going to have a fantastic season, so it's an easy choice. Davante Adams is your offensive player of the year by a mile.
So those are our awards for the Packers, and we'll get to those in the NFL. Maybe we have one for the Packers as well, getting a NFL-centric award, but we don't for now. So what I'm going to do is we're going to go through and tell you who our six playoff teams are in each conference, and after we're done with that, we'll go to the playoff rounds and who's advancing where and eventually get to your Super Bowl champion. So I will start. In the NFC, my division winners are the Philadelphia Eagles, the Chicago Bears, the New Orleans Saints, and the Los Angeles Rams. My two wildcard teams are the Dallas Cowboys at 11-5 and the Atlanta Falcons at 10-6. In the AFC, I have the New England Patriots at 13-3, the Pittsburgh Steelers winning the North, the Houston Texans winning the South, and the Kansas City Chiefs winning the AFC West. My wildcard teams are the Los Angeles Chargers and the Cleveland Browns, making the playoffs. So I guess we get a little bit of Green Bay flavor in the playoffs if that is the case. So those are my six teams on each side. Jason, who are your six playoff teams in the NFL?
All right. So I didn't go as far as to rank them, but I've got in the NFC, I've got the Packers, Saints, Cowboys, and Rams winning their division with the Eagles and the 49ers as your wild card teams. And then in the AFC, I've got the Steelers, Titans, Patriots, and Chiefs winning their divisions, and your wild card teams are the LA Chargers and the Houston Texans.
Okay, we'll move to the wild card round of the playoffs. In the NFC, I have the New Orleans Saints beating the Atlanta Falcons, and then the Dallas Cowboys going on the road into Chicago and beating the Bears to move into the next round. And then in the AFC, I have the Pittsburgh Steelers beating the Cleveland Browns at home, and then the Chargers beating the Houston Texans to move to the divisional round. Jason, what does your wild card round look like?
So in the NFC, I've got the Packers taking out the San Francisco 49ers and the Rams beating the Eagles. And in the AFC, I've got Steelers over Texans and the Chargers take out the Titans.
Okay, divisional round then. We'll move forward quickly here. In the AFC, I have the Patriots winning in Foxborough against the Chargers, and then the Chiefs beating the Steelers at Arrowhead to set up a rematch of the AFC Championship game just in a different stadium. In the NFC, I have the Eagles beating the Cowboys in Philadelphia, and I have the New Orleans Saints beating the Los Angeles Rams to advance to the NFC Championship game. So a bit of a measure of revenge there. Jason, we'll jump into the championship games here. Or excuse me, I was wrong. I completely have dementia and forgot. So that's okay. Jason, what's your divisional round look like?
Man, all those old man jokes are really catching up to you there, karma. All right, so the division round. I agree with you. The Saints will take out the Rams. They will get their revenge. The NFL will make sure it happens because they are stupid and had to do this in order to make up for last year instead of letting it play out fairly. Unfortunately, this is where the joyride ends for the Packers as they lose to the Dallas Cowboys. And in the AFC, I've got the Chargers taking out the Pats, which may be the beginning, finally the beginning, of the end of the dynasty run of the New England Patriots. And I've got the Chiefs taking out the Steelers.
Well, I can promise you that whenever we get to that point, if the Chargers and Patriots play each other in the playoffs, I will bet you whatever you want, the Patriots win that game. All right, championship games, championship Sunday. I have the Eagles taking on the New Orleans Saints and the New England Patriots taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Jeremy, we'll welcome you back into this portion of the show. What's your championship game look like? Who do you have getting to the Super Bowl?
In the NFC Championship, I have the Saints versus the Packers. I know it'd be crazy for the Packers to get to the NFC Championship, but I think that they're gonna end the season hot and carry that into the playoffs. And I think the Saints off them and move on. And then I got KC versus the Pats. And I think Kansas City this year they're gonna finish it out and actually get to the Super Bowl. And we're not gonna have to watch Tom Brady play another one.
So Saints and Chiefs. I have the Eagles and the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I have the Eagles knocking off New Orleans and the Patriots beating Kansas City at home. Jason, who do you have going to the Super Bowl?
All right. So in the NFC, I've got the Saints taking out the Cowboys. And in the AFC, it's the Chiefs over the Chargers, setting up a Saints-Chiefs Super Bowl. Jeremy and I sync up there.
All right. So you guys sync up. Tell me who's winning that Super Bowl. Jason, we'll start with you.
I have the Saints winning. Is this Super Bowl LIV? It's LIV, correct?
I believe it would be Super Bowl 54, yes.
Yeah, Super Bowl live. Saints over Chiefs, and they win a Super Bowl that they probably might have should have won last year, but it comes a year later. So who dat gets the Lombardi Trophy?
Gross. Okay, Jeremy, you?
Yeah, I've got the Saints as well. I think they're going to come in to this whole season and play like an angry brand of football with the way that things ended last year. And I think Kansas City's defense is going to come up to bite them in the big game. That defense is a year or two away from being fixed. It's still got defensive back issues through and through. It's a messy defense. They're going to need to fix that. And I think it's going to hurt them in the championship against a well-balanced team in the Saints. That team is good on both sides of the ball. And that offense is going to be what they have been for the last few years. They're going to light it up. Saints come out on top.
Interesting. Okay, well, I have the different Super Bowl, even though it's kind of the same one that we saw a few years ago. I have the Philadelphia Eagles beating the New England Patriots again in the Super Bowl, 34-27, with Carson Wentz winning MVP honors. So the Eagles win their second Super Bowl in 3 years, according to me. Let's look at the NFL awards, guys. We'll just kind of go through real quick through each other here. I have the MVP, the Offensive Rookie of the Year, the Defensive Rookie of the Year, and the Defensive Player of the Year. My MVP is going to be Carson Wentz of the Eagles. I think the Eagles are set to have a very good season. I love their roster. I think their receivers are very good. I think their offensive line is very good. There's a lot of good players on that team, and I think the Eagles, like I mentioned, I just picked them to win the Super Bowl. So clearly I like their team. If they're going to win a Super Bowl, Carson Wentz is going to be a big reason why, at least in my estimation. My defensive player of the year is Aaron Donald, because why would I pick anybody else at this point? And my rookies of the year, I have Kyler Murray of the Arizona Cardinals. He's going to play right away. He's in an offense that's set for him to put up numbers, and I just think that that's going to be a big deal for him. So I have Kyler Murray there. My defensive rookie of the year is going to be Brian Burns. I think he'll put up big numbers. Like I mentioned, I think Darnell Savage will be a finalist or close to that award or in the discussion, but I think Burns is just going to put up enough of those big numbers, and it'll become the new – well, maybe not the new because it'll never fully be replaced, but this will become the younger version of Kevin King instead of T.J. Watt. This will be the fact that the Packers took Rashawn Gary instead of Brian Burns, who won Defensive Rookie of the Year. So those are my four big awards for the year. Jason, what are yours?
So I've got Philip Rivers winning the MVP award. He got the Chargers all the way to the AFC Championship game before they dropped to the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes won it last year. This year, Rivers gets the nod. My Offensive Rookie of the Year is only because of the fact that there probably aren't a lot of flashy rookies this year. When you look at this year's draft class, there weren't a lot of names that really stuck out on offense. So I've got TJ Hockenson winning the award, basically a process of elimination award more than anything there. The Defensive Rookie of the Year, I've got a surprise pick here. It is going to be Chase Winovich, who is going to play more than we think for the New England Patriots, and I think he's going to be a huge factor in what they do. So Chase Winovich, Defensive Rookie of the Year. I did, right, and you're hurting and you're dying right now. And so since the Saints are going to win the Super Bowl, I think the Defensive Player of the Year kind of has to come from that squad, so I've got Marshawn Lattimore taking home that honor for this season.
All right, Jeremy, four big awards real quick. Who you got?
All right, I got Patrick Mahomes winning the MVP. The Chiefs are going to make it all the way to the Super Bowl, and their defense is not going to be what gets them there. It's going to be that offense and Patrick Mahomes, and he's going to light it up this season. He wins MVP. Defensive Player of the Year, I'm giving it to, and I hate to do this, and everybody's going to hate it, I'm giving it to Khalil Mack, because even though the Bears aren't going to win the division, he is going to have a season that is just otherworldly. The stats are going to be insane. He's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. And then for Offensive Rookie of the Year, I went with Kyler Murray as well. My reasoning there is that he's going to play a lot immediately. He's going to have the ball in his hands more than any other offensive rookie because he's the freaking quarterback. He's going to have a good season by the standards of the Arizona Cardinals, so take that for what you will. But he's going to have a decent season as a rookie. He wins Offensive Rookie of the Year. And then Defensive Rookie of the Year, I got Nick Bosa. You know, there's questions as to whether or not he even plays week one, but I think he's going to have a solid season and be quite good for the 49ers.
So there you have it. There's our awards. There's our season. There's how everything shakes out. Two of the hosts of this show have the New Orleans Saints winning the Super Bowl, and I, the other host, have the Philadelphia Eagles taking out the New England Patriots to win the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years. Jeremy and Jason both say the Packers make the playoffs. One has them advancing to the divisional round, another to the NFC Championship game, and I have the Packers missing out on the party. So as someone who's normally the optimist of this show, maybe that's a good thing, maybe it's a bad thing. I can't quite tell if it's good or bad yet. So I guess we'll see how that goes. But that is how we have our season playing out for this year, and we look forward to be proving ridiculously wrong, because as we know, one injury changes this entire circumstance for every single game possible. So let's look real quick into week one, guys. The Packers and the Bears will play Thursday night to open the season. We already told you each who we think is going to win. I think Green Bay is going to win. The other two see the Chicago Bears coming out on top. So with that in mind, guys, I want to look at offensively, the Packers are unveiling a new scheme, new everything. What do you think is the biggest matchup in their favor that they need to exploit? And what do you think is the matchup that worries you the most on the offensive side of the ball? And I'll start. The matchup I think they need to exploit is Trevor Davis and Marquez Valdes-Scantling and their deep speed against Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. And I don't mean to pick on Clinton Dix. He's a player that I liked when he was in Green Bay. I tended to root for him because the draft that I was able to cover when I was an intern for Packer Report, Clinton Dix was the first round pick. So I wanted him to do well. That's something that those guys became players that I wanted to do well, because that was the draft and the only one to date that I've been able to personally cover. But that being said, Clinton Dix has some tendencies to give up some big plays. And I think that that's something that the Packers could be able to exploit. We're talking like potential for some deep touchdowns here, the exciting stuff, the plays that make everybody go, man, this offense is back kind of thing. I think that's something they can absolutely exploit. Another one, just to cheat a little bit real quick, find matchups against their slot corner, Buster Screen, because he is not good. A lot of people obviously has been talking about the Clinton Dix for Adrian Amos swap, if you will. One that I don't think is being discussed enough is the fact that Bryce Callahan, when he's healthy, is one of the best slot corners in all of football, and he was very good for the Bears last season. And that has now been replaced by Buster Screen, who is not very good, to say the very least. So that's the one I think that the Packers need to find ways to exploit. The biggest worry, duh, it's Khalil Mack. I mean, he's one of the two or three best defensive players in the NFL. They'll match him up with Brian Bulaga. They'll match him up with David Bakhtiari. They'll move him on stunts and stuff like that. I think that that is something. If they can keep him, you're not going to shut down Khalil Mack. That's just not going to happen. But they need to be able to contain him. Don't let him wreck the game. Give your offense a chance to do something on the field, because Matt can turn first and 10 into second and 22 very quickly, and then turn that into third and 30. I mean, he has the potential to wreck a game. That's what the Bears acquired when they sent all their draft picks over to him. So that's what I have for those. Jason, what matchup do you like the most for Green Bay, and what matchup do you think they need to exploit?
Well, the matchup is Davante Adams on whoever's covering him, because Tay Adams and his footwork is some of the best in the league. So I think the Packers are going to get their chances to get the ball to him as long as Rodgers gets the ball out quickly. The concern, obviously, Mack is an easy answer there. I'll also go with Tariq Cohen, because the tackling was pretty suspect by the Packers in the preseason. It's going to look rough, but those aren't guys that you can really afford to miss a lot of tackles against. So I think that's where the issues lie there. I think the key for the Packers is going to be their ability to run the football and establish the run somehow against that really stout front. Roquan Smith's a year older and wiser. Khalil Mack roams the front there, and they've got a lot of really good guys that are going to be able to make it tough sledding for Packers running backs, especially who haven't really played at all in the preseason. So is there going to be any kind of rust there? Those are some of the areas that I see as keys. But again, you know, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a closer one than anything. I just think, you know, in the end, with it being a road game, the Packers fall short. The one victory that Green Bay will gain, though, is that they're playing on that terrible, terrible Soldier Field turf in week one before it's had a chance to get chopped up and mulched into what it turns into when they usually play there later in the season.
Yeah, that is actually a very positive thing. I like that they're going to be playing on that field early, because it is absolute trash. Not even that long into the season, it is just a pile of garbage. That field just sucks. So, yeah, I agree with that. That's great. I think the thing that I think they should exploit early is quick passes in the screen game, because that defense will be trying to get after Aaron Rodgers. And one way to get after an aggressive defense is to hit some screens. And the other thing that I would do, and maybe this is stupid, but this is the way I'd be thinking, Brian Bulaga is best as a run blocker. I would run right at Khalil Mack a few times in this game and see if we could put Brian Bulaga in the best position for him to win against a guy who is going to be trouble for the Green Bay Packers. So I would run at him, I'd run screens, and I would run quick passes. I'd try to get this offense moving quickly. And then later in the game, you know, you want to be hitting those play-action passes. And with MVS and his speed, so you're going to want to send him deep. So I think Clinton Dix, I had him penciled in as having a big game here and playing really well against the Packers, but there's a good chance that they could confuse the hell out of that guy and get Ha out of position, and that will screw up the entire back end of their defense. He can leave the back end of their defense high and dry. We've seen it happen. It can happen. The Packers can cause that to happen, and if any quarterback can cause that to happen, it's Aaron freaking Rodgers. So I think early in the game, quick. They got to get the offense moving quickly. Quick passes, screens, and I would run the ball, run the football. And that's not something the Bears are used to seeing the Packers do. That is something we're going to see a lot more of this season. I think the Packers need to use the run game pretty early in the season here and do it right away with the Bears.
All right, so that's on offense. On defense, the matchup I think that they need to exploit is their edge rushers against the Bears' tackles. For as much talk about their offense and how things could improve because of their, you know, their new toys and their weapons and stuff like that, Charles Leno is okay. He's not a bad player, but he's not exactly a great player either, if that makes a ton of sense. So I think that the Packers could do some stuff with Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary, and just kind of try to exploit some things early on and get those guys some free runs at the quarterback. And if they're able to do that, then you know, you're talking about pressure on Mitchell Trubisky, who has kind of been known to wilt a little bit under pressure. So, I mean, any quarterback for the most part does that as well. It's pretty rare that somebody excels better under pressure, even though like Aaron Rodgers used to carve up defenses when he was blitzed, but that's beside the point. Bobby Massey on the other side is not a very good player either. And I think that the Packers really could have their way with the offensive tackles. The Bears' strength of their offensive line is on the interior with James Daniels, who was okay last year, Cody Whitehair, who's very good, and Kyle Long, who when he's healthy, and for right now he is very good. So I think that Green Bay has a chance to make some things happen there. Jason mentioned him earlier. I think the biggest thing that the Bears can do that worries me is they have those shifty little gadget players. Cordarrelle Patterson is one, for example, that tends to give the Packers fits. But the other one is Tariq Cohen. And something else about Cohen in general that worries me is that the philosophy that comes with it is the Bears could very well decide to line up and try and ram it down the Packers' throat. The Packers may not have a whole lot in the way of linebackers. And if you're going to play Raven Green as the other linebacker, that's fine. But the way to beat the safety playing linebacker thing is to play double tight with a fullback and try and ram it down the team's throat. You saw the Patriots do it last year against the Los Angeles Chargers, for example. So something that would worry me is if the Bears decided to play old school and try and win the game that way, because I think that that is something where they always used to say, you know, the best way to defend Aaron Rodgers and his offense is keep him on the sideline. And that's something that the Bears could very potentially do. Jeremy, defensively for the Packers, what matchup do you and don't you like?
I agree with you. Pass rush is Za'Darius Smith. Like I said, I think it's going to be like an unleashing. And the thing that I'm excited to see, and we haven't seen much this preseason, is the scheme that this defense runs, that the Mike Pettine scheme of scheming guys open to get free looks at the quarterback. I think we're going to see some of that. Don't be surprised if Rashawn Gary has a sack in this game, because even though he struggled in the preseason, they weren't running things they're going to be running right away in week one in the preseason. And so I think we're going to see him get a free shot at the quarterback. We're going to see a few guys get that. That's the way this scheme works. So pass rush, I think Za'Darius Smith is going to be a huge part of it, and they are going to get after it. I agree with you on the running game. If they decide to go hard at the Packers, not only are they thin at inside linebacker, but if Kenny Clark needs a breather, who the heck's going to play inside? Now, you know, without Mike Daniels on the field, you're already playing some young guys with Dean Lowry and Lancaster. Who jumps in that inside position and fills in that role like Kenny Clark does? Nobody. He's one of the best in the league. So if they're running at them a lot, they're going to have to get those big boys a breather every once in a while, and that could really hurt the Packers, especially because the linebackers playing behind those guys, that's a thin group. And if Martinez has to come off the field, who's in? Ty Summers. That's not great. That's not ideal.
No, that's less than positive, to say the very, very least. So, Jason, real quick, throw us a couple. What do you and don't you like about the defense on Sunday?
Very simple.
Or Thursday, excuse me.
Or Thursday. Very simple. The Packers have to watch that running game in Chicago and the tackling and the ball carriers in space. That's where the defense tends to struggle with their tackling, and I think it's just going to take them a couple weeks to get their feet under them, so that could be the problematic area. But because of who's throwing the ball for the Bears, I think anytime they're throwing the ball, I think the Packers secondary is going to feast. You guys talked about the pass rush and getting to Trubisky. I want to talk about the back end, and I think you're going to see a couple of interceptions by this defense, and it's going to start the trend, and it's going to start the vibe of the 2019 Packers defense, which is going to be the return of the turnover and the takeaway. I think they're going to get a bunch of them this season, and it starts this week against the Turd Biscuit.
Yeah, Mike Patton, something he said today was that you get what you emphasize, and they've emphasized turnovers. So that's something the Packers could have a lot more for this year, and it'll remain to be seen. Like you guys mentioned earlier, you guys like the Bears to win this game on Thursday. I like Green Bay to win. I think that the uncertainty of week one and such plays in their favor. So Matt LaFleur and his career gets started off with a win against Chicago, according to you two. You have them losing, but also making the playoffs. So maybe not such a bad thing if they go down on Thursday night. But I do know one thing is it will be exciting. It's the 100th season of the NFL. It's the fifth season here of Pulse of the Pack. And we're going to try some new and different things as this season goes on. It remains to be seen if we'll be able to do a show here in the next week or so. There's a baby that's due here pretty quickly. And a lot of how we're going to do our next couple of shows really depends on when she decides to show up. She's due 11 days from today. So we'll see how that goes. But we will be here all season long for you guys, breaking down the Packers as they win, as they lose, as they learn from stuff, as they go through their first season with Matt LaFleur as the head coach. Want to thank you guys for listening to this show as we do every year. It's one of my favorite shows to do on a yearly basis. Want to thank our new tech person for this show, helping us out with some stuff, and formerly of Titletown Sound Off, now of Cheesehead TV Live, fellow Arizona resident of Jason's, Jeremy Vanderlinden. Jeremy, tell us where we can find you on anything.
You can find me on Facebook in the Cheesehead TV Live Facebook group. Check that out. Search Cheesehead TV Live. You'll find it. You can find me on Twitter if you want to, at Jeremy RVDL. I am there sometimes tweeting things. So check
it out. Yeah, relatively rare, if I may add, but that's beside the point.
Yes.
Jason, you can follow him. He is at Jason Perone. You can also find him, and myself for that matter, on the Facebook Cheesehead TV Live Facebook page. I am in there. Feel free, say hello, all those things. We like all that stuff. And you can follow the show on Twitter. That is at Pulse of the Pack, and we're going to try some new stuff this year, hopefully. So once we get all that figured out, we'll be able to do that. Packers-Bears Thursday night, NBC, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth will have the call. Should be an exciting start to the season, the oldest and greatest rivalry in the NFL. Thank you guys for listening into this show. And now, for the first time in the regular season of the 100th season, as always, go Pack, go.
The Pack Podcast.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game ticket from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.